Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto.
This is Eric Young.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to Shootin' Poop.
Shootin' Poop.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Tripod of Doom. There is no Silver Wolf tonight. He's making arts and crafts for a good cause before you start to talk shit out there.
You know what? He's being a good husband. So yeah, lay off the Silver Wolf.
He's being a good husband so he doesn't have to sleep in the doghouse or the little wolf's house.
Or on the couch.
Or that's a nice couch. You're not going to vouch for that.
It is a nice couch. I've sat on that couch before.
Let me tell you all this. This is episode 90. This is the 90s. Greatest time in television history. A lot of shit came out in the 90s. But not a bad time for wrestling either. I mean, a little thing called the Attitude Era happened in this time. But, you know, before we get started with all this craziness and going down the wrestling memorabilias and memories and if, thens, and buts, and what ifs, play that entrance video, man. Let's go.
All right. Let's go.
You know, what's more 90s than having McDonald's on your fucking birthday, bro? That screams birthday in the 90s to me, man. That's the only time we were able to get out fucking chicken nuggets, man.
Now, you want to know what's 90s is McDonald's with, you know, on a Friday night, everybody's got McDonald's and friends, and you're all playing like Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64 or GoldenEye.
Oh, dude, GoldenEye. Remember when you used to get an odd job and everybody would be pissed off at you because you're that short little fool just running around? Oh, dude, those were good times.
The greatest pause music.
Oh.
In history.
Yes.
Goated freaking music, dude. Well, there's only one of us eating right now. So there's only one of us who has a birthday tonight. Joey K. Happy birthday, baby.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure are going to go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
These minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours.
Philadelphia.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Joey.
Happy birthday to you.
Go to hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they liked us.
Creed's
killed.
Oh, sir, those aren't.
Do as I say.
That was fantastic. I love that episode of Simpsons too.
Dude, I was looking for something because we have that little birthday video that Jovan put up, like for mine, and I think we used it for his as well. But I'm like, man, I got to see if I still have it. And thankfully, I still had that video from when we played it last year for your birthday.
Oh, my God. I love that video.
Nothing says 90s like The Simpsons.
Back when The Simpsons was good.
Hey, some of the newer episodes, like there was one or two that were actually really damn good.
Yeah, but how often do they put out a good episode compared to back then?
It's like two out of the season now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For every Lisa and Nelson growing up and finding love with each other later in life, you get a Homer learns Bitcoin and loses the family's money. So it is what it is.
Lisa and Nelson end up together. Poor Milhouse.
Yeah, poor Milhouse. He'll be okay. Milhouse, what was he doing in the episode? I don't remember. Anyway,
I'll watch that one. I haven't.
Everything's coming up. Milhouse.
Yep.
The one episode in the future where Lisa and Milhouse were together. Lisa's the president and Milhouse is a zombie. Like, that's the only way it would work. He's a zombie.
That's so great.
Well, we don't have much to cover tonight. It's going to be a lot of feelings and emotions and memories throughout the night. Let's start off. You know what? I want to do something a little funny. Let's start off with memorabilia talk, because we said memorabilia and memories.
I thought we were going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
We're going to talk about the Chicago White Sox and how they can't win games.
Hey, they've got more wins than the Chicago Cubs.
They also can't win games.
Yeah. That one was for Sean.
Anyways, taking shots. He's not even here to defend himself. Play the music for the question of the week.
First off, that's the best time to take shots is when that person's not there to defend himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. Shootin' Shit proudly presents the Stirrin' Shit Facebook Question of the Week.
Whose question was it, you big lug?
It was mine. And my question was, one of my favorite programs on TV right now is WWE's Most Wanted Treasures. And what I want to know is this. If you could get your hands on any one piece of memorabilia, what would it be? So we got a few good answers here. I'm going to start off with my cousin Jerry, who gave a really good one with a great sentimental story that, like, if Sean were here, Sean knows the story because he was there. But Jerry came up with, he mentioned Pentagon's mask from Warrior Wrestling circa 2019. This was, I think it was right around, I think it was the day after Wrestle Kingdom that year. This was the first show that, excuse me, he came to Chicago for, and was the formation of our version of the Four Horsemen, that being myself, Jerry, Silver Wolf, and our buddy Patrick. And it's been all uphill since and stuff. So it's a really cool story because, again, you know, Jerry's my cousin, but he's more like a brother to me. And just, you know, I liked his backstory. Isaac posted, and of course, typical Isaac posted that baby that Snitsky punted.
It's not his fault.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault. My cousin Michael, who actually is Jerry's younger brother, he signed anything from connected to Hogan. He said he wouldn't mind having JYD's chain and collar.
That would be cool.
And, of course, tied with the obligatory Maria Menounos answer. But he said he would want Maria's gear from WrestleMania 28.
Oh, happy birthday to Maria Menounos sharing a birthday with Premier. I bet she's very proud.
I'm sure she's thrilled about that.
I'm sure she probably don't even know who the fuck you are.
Well, man, who's that, too?
I bet she's having nuggets tonight, too.
Shane had a couple really funny ones here. Our buddy Shane Green from Such Good Shoot. The steel stairs that Rollins used to pop Rey Mysterio's eye out. And then his real answer, he said, was the hand costume from when Mae Young gave birth.
That's in WWE archive. It has to.
Yeah. Ryan Gagnon's wrote, I'd want the Raw roulette wheel.
That's a good one.
And then last but not least, Michael Fox mentioned he'd like to have the old school Luthez world title belt.
Mm.
So that's some pretty good answers there, man.
You'd have to open up Luthez's casket. They buried him with it. No, I'm just joking. I don't know if that's true or not.
You never know what some of these links, some of these people would go to get this stuff. So, all right, so we've heard from the shooters. Now let's hear from you guys. Jovan, what about you? If you could have one piece of wrestling memorabilia, what would it be?
This one is very, 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 very easy. I'm a big fan of this wrestler.
Oh, God, he wants to lose his jockstrap.
Oh, that's funny. Coming from the guy who has Colt Cabana's foreskin.
Touche.
He's Jewish, you know. They had to cut it. God. The animal. No, I'm a big AJ Styles fan. And when I think AJ Styles, there's only maybe two of his gear that I could say, man, that's really pivotal. But the one that I'm going with comes from 2005. Ooh. Little pay-per-view known as Unbreakable.
Ooh.
The only five-star match in TNA history. Give me AJ Styles' red X Division gear that he wore during that matchup.
That's a good one. And that's a lot of people to this day still think that's the greatest match in TNA history.
It's the greatest match in TNA history. It's one of the greatest X Division matches of all time.
Very much so. Joey K, what say you?
You know, there's a few things I would want. But I know it's going to sound kind of basic, man, but dude, how would you not want a flare robe? Like,
yeah.
Like, come on. Like, I mean, they're just fucking, some of them are just amazing. But really, I'd take any one of them. Fuck it. Like, it's a Ric Flair robe, dude. Like, and mostly because it's like, you think I'm not going to fucking wear it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be out there getting the fucking mail at the mailbox, bro. Just helicopter my way down there. I don't give a fuck.
So he's wearing the flare robe and going commando.
In true Flair style.
Yeah.
Man, Jesus. Like, so I don't know. That's always where I go to. Like, if there's, but other things, if I could have like anything like wild and crazy, I want the SmackDown fist.
Oh,
yeah, that'd be fucking awesome.
That fucking fist has such a cult following. People still want it back till this day.
Yeah,
dude. I fucking do. Bring the fist. Fisting needs to come back in a hardcore way.
Make SmackDown fist again.
Yeah, make SmackDown fisting again. SmackDown was always about fisting. Its roots are in fisting.
Well, that's kind of what Roman Reigns does when he does a Superman punch. He goes,
yeah, Clinton just gets in there.
Shout out to the fist.
Yeah, it's all in the, it's all in that Samoan fisting power. Same.
It's all about the game and how you fist it.
Okay, that just, wow.
That killed it. So, DDJ, what is yours?
Oh, fuck you, first off. But no, for me, normally when we do these shows, if someone's answer gets taken, we kind of do a pivot. And Joey K kind of did that with the flare rope thing. But this time, I'm not gonna pivot because I have a specific flare rope that I would want.
Oh Christ! I thought you were gonna say the fist.
No. I'm leaving that all. That's all Joey K. But I would want the robe that Ric Flair wore at the 1992 Royal Rumble when he went in at number 3 and went over an hour to become the WWF champion for the first time. Because y'all know Flair's my guy, and that was really the first time, like when I started getting into wrestling, that was the first time I saw Flair win a title. Like, I didn't see any of his title wins in, you know, the NWA, WCW, because I didn't get into wrestling until like early 91-ish, I want to say, when I really started getting into it. So that was the first time I saw Flair win a world title. And the Royal Rumble 1992 is probably my all-time favorite WWF pay-per-view or premium live event or whatever you want to call it. So there's a lot of different reasons that if there was one other thing that I could have, one thing that I would really like, and I think it'd really be cool, it would probably scare the hell out of my son, I would want that headpiece that Vader used to wear. With like they used to have the
Mastodon.
Yes, like that he wore over in Japan and then like what his first few months in WCW. Dude, that shit was fucking cool as hell. I would love to have that.
Who did he say got that for him? What didn't he say, like, Inoki got it for him? Like, it was like this whole thing that they were making. It was like some story behind it.
I think so. I'd have to go back and do some research and stuff, but I think you're correcting it and stuff. Yeah,
both of you guys gave two, so I'm gonna give a second one now.
Yeah, what's your second one?
Yeah, because y'all aren't gonna double up, and I follow the rules. My second one,
twat.
Yeah, exactly. Both of you. Taint muffins.
Wow.
My second one plays to good old Dallas, Texas.
Oh, and for the record, I just went online and looked. That is correct. Inoki gave it to him.
I want a pair of the Von Erich's boots. That's all. Give me a pair of the boots. Don't do it.
I'm
does it come with Carrie's foot?
Yeah.
I was waiting. As soon as he said don't do it, I had a feeling where he was going.
I want Carrie Von Erich's foot. Yeah, I want the right foot. That's exactly what I'm wanting. No, dude. I want something like
I couldn't not say it. Like,
do you think they stuffed the boot, or did they use like a fake foot in that bitch?
I thought he had like a fucking prosthetic in there.
It was a prosthetic, wasn't
that's
it?
That's what yeah. I think. That's what I think. I think that's the case. It was a prosthetic.
Well, fuck it. For Sean, I want Carrie Von Erich's prosthetic leg. Sean, you can laugh at that or be upset because you're not here to do your joke again. Or I want Benoit's Bowflex for Isaac. Let's go. What's next?
Wow.
Stop. Yeah, I thought it was bad when I was talking about fucking Carrie's foot. Jesus Christ. I don't even want to say the words. I don't even want to say the name and the piece of fitness equipment together. That's awful.
What?
That was fucking awful, dude.
Got dark fast.
I got DJ. Real fucking dark.
I have the question next week. I cannot wait to see what I think of to give you guys over there to mull around God and
damn
and answer.
I can't wait for you to come up with something either.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask good old AI to help with this one. So, Allen Iverson, if you're out there, I'll be giving you a call, buddy. We're going to put our heads together on some good wrestling facts.
We ain't talking about the game. We're
talking about practice.
Practice. If you guys haven't watched Ted Lasso, please watch Ted Lasso. It's so fucking good.
I cried four fucking times in the finale.
I just started season three, and I started watching Ted Lasso on Monday. So, yeah. It's a bench from hell.
Yeah. Worth it.
Yeah, it's been fucking awesome. Watch Ted Lasso. It's great. Practice. We're talking about practice here, Jamie. Practice. You know what we're going to talk about next? Let's go to New Japan Pro Wrestling. You guys brought up Inoki and Big Van Vader, the Mastodon. NJPW just had Dominion, which is one of their marquee shows.
Arguably, I would say it's their second biggest show behind Wrestle Kingdom.
Dontaku, G1, there's a lot of them. But it's one of their marquee shows.
Yep.
There's always something happening at Dominion. And they may have just threw the first shot across for this mega show we're having in Canada for some reason. AEW's Forbidden Door 2.
Yep.
Electric Boogaloo, of course.
Yeah.
And if anybody's looking for a suite for that show, I don't know a guy.
Which is obviously weird because we know some. Never mind.
Do we?
DDJ.
Do we though?
No, we don't.
We don't.
Yeah. Nope. No, we don't.
We don't. Yeah. We don't.
Thanks to the contract with the Johnners Podcast and Network Service, we cannot here or there mention insert bleep here. Anyway.
Wait, we can also just do to this guy too.
Due to Daniel Bryan?
What did he do to you illegal?
Yeah, what did he do to you legally?
What are the detectives investigating?
No, I'm saying, no, he's telling us, no, we can't do it either. We can't mention
allegedly. Allegedly. Joey K. Center shirts coming out as soon as you guys keep buying the logo shirts. Please buy the logo shirts. Please. We want to drop this Joey K. Center shirt, but we can't do it if you don't buy the logo shirt. And you can buy the logo shirt at this beautiful, nice QR code.
Well, teamwork makes a dream work here.
This is why we need a producer on this show. Can't do it all. No, there it was.
Hey.
QR code. Scan that. Get a shirt so we could drop the Joey K. Limited Run censored.
Plus, we each got our own individual shirts as well, too. In the pipeline. Yeah.
Got a lot of stuff in the pipeline. We just need stuff to start dropping. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to start laying the pipe here, guys. So,
buy some shit. Lay the pipe and buy some shit.
What it's all about.
Okay, so what were you saying now?
DDJ, what happened at Duntalk?
You mean Dominion?
Whatever.
Fucking, who cares? That show.
What happened in Japan, the land of the rising sun?
Well, there's actually quite a bit that happened on the show. We start out with the match that opened the show, and that was Will Ospreay beat Lance Archer to become the number one contender for the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. And basically what that means is that at Forbidden Door, we are getting a rematch from Wrestle Kingdom and what is definitely going to be in the consideration for match of the year as Will Ospreay seeks to reclaim the IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship from the cleaner Kenny Omega.
Cheers, bruv. Congrats on the title win, Ospreay.
Yeah. Then, you know, some other really good matches. We had Zack Sabre Jr. successfully defended the television title against Jeff Cobb. Bishamon, which is comprised of Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi, which is becoming a really damn good team in New Japan, won the vacant IWGP Tag Team Championships and the Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships. That were vacated by Aussie Open due to an injury to Mark Davis.
I didn't think we were given a full rundown. I thought we were just hitting what was going to be important for the next topic, Dennis Day Jr.
Well, then we're going to go right to it then. And then in one of the big matches of the night, Chaos, the Never Openweight 6-Man Tag Team Championships, comprised of Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii, along with Hiroshi Tanahashi, defeated the Blackpool Combat Club, that being John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, that was his first New Japan Pro Wrestling match, and Shota Umino. But the big news coming out of that match was that Moxley played a video from one Brian Danielson, who challenged Kazuchika Okada to a match at Forbidden Door, and it was announced that this match is happening. So coming out of New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion, and also congratulations to Sonata for retaining the IWGP Championship, we had two matches that were announced as a result of what happened at Forbidden Door, and they're two pretty damn good ones with Danielson and Okada, and then the rematch between Ospreay and Omega.
All right. So that gets us to the confirmed matches for the Forbidden Secret Door number 2. This, honestly, it's enough to make me at least buy the pay-per-view, because it's going to be a pay-per-view. I'm not going to Canada for obvious reasons.
Right.
It's enough for
felony.
Me to...
Felony!
Don't say felony, that's fucked up.
What? I mean, what other obvious reason is there? Oh, wait, you're brown?
What? Oh, yeah, Canada doesn't care. I live in Texas.
That'd be a hell of a drive for you to make.
It would be. It would be a hell of a drive. Well, I don't even know what part of Canada it's in.
It's Ontario, I believe.
Oh, yeah, Ontario. It's a long way. It's a long drive.
Toronto at the Scotiabank Arena.
Oh, okay. Well, if you need a suite at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
Hey, remember.
Just joking. But yeah, let's see. That's two. You're talking about two once in a lifetime, if you were in WWE style matches. Danielson Okada, fanboys have been wanting that one. Best of NJPW versus the best technical wrestler since, I don't know, Zack Sabre Jr. And you have, I know that's debatable, but you have Kenny Omega and William Ospreay. Again, these two put on classic matches every time they're in the ring together. And it is time for Ospreay to take the belt off of Omega, who, until I'm proved wrong, looks like he's slowing down to me, and not slowing down as in working in AEW style, but career might be coming close pretty soon. So, that's my two cents. Joey K, you're off of camera. There you go.
Now he's back on.
Beautiful bastard. What do you think on those two announced matches?
Already it's better than Double or Nothing. I mean, for fuck's sake, dude.
He's not wrong there.
Like just those two matches alone were enough to be like, yeah.
Take my
also, by the way, do we get Punk Tanahashi this year that we were supposed to have last year? I mean, they might just fucking throw that on, be like, yo.
Well, there's a rumor going around, and since he kind of brought it up, we can go to it. There's a rumor going around that apparently that CM Punk is not Tanahashi, but there's rumors going around saying that it's getting Punk versus Kenta is being considered for Forbidden Door.
Well, that's the only other match right. I want to see Punk in. Because really, who would Punk go against in New Japan? That's really like a, you know, that's pretty much, I mean, that's pretty much the two top answers there. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, and I said it last year, go back and listen to the episodes. What we were talking about Forbidden Door last year when they first announced it, like, yeah, if we don't get Punk versus Kenta, like, what's the fucking point? I said that a year ago. So, because I was the only one of us that wasn't really on board with the Tanahashi match.
Yeah.
You know, I just said it as in, like, oh, they have an instant match because, well, all they have to do is the, injury held it off for a year, but now we're back type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so whatever. Either way, this card is going to be so fucking good. Just with those two matches, they're already, I don't know if they're going to do this before, but they're teasing that fucking Zack Sabre Jr. Samoa Joe fucking feud.
Oh, man, that's going to be like,
the king of TV.
Yeah, yep. And I'm all fucking about that match if we get that at Forbidden Door too. That's another one. Do we get Tama Tonga versus fucking Jay White?
I would love it. I would die.
Like, you know what? We may actually get that Bullet Club Silver War that you were talking about last year.
Dude, we can get the fucking Bullet Club versus Bullet Club Gold.
Yeah.
You know, the Bullet Club right now, though, honestly, they have fallen so high. They used to be
the How can thing. You fall high?
They've fallen from up high, my friend.
Okay.
They have fallen, and it's just horrible. I mean, number one, they still have that bum bitch Chase Owens in the group, which I don't understand.
Fucking scrub.
Bum fucking bitch. Scrub. Wow, you're kind of taking it easy on him tonight.
Yeah, that ham and egger. I'm not going to let him get my blood pressure up. It's not the night. But,
yeah, you got enough internal problems to worry about.
That's right. That's right. Diabetes. No.
No, it's more like Taco Bell, Jack in the Box and Authentic Mexican.
That's right. Clear out the pipes, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you're good to go. But not only that, dude, I mean, what's Finley doing with the club? I just don't like the direction of the club. It doesn't feel like it's that big gaijin force that it used to be. I mean, yeah, people, they age out and leave NJPW, but it doesn't have any original traces of Bullet Club to me. Not that it can't be done like that, but it just doesn't feel like Bullet Club.
Speaking of original traces of Bullet Club, where's Bad Luck Fale been?
Somewhere in Samoa, doing just fine.
Yeah, because he's still officially part of Bullet Club, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The guys who are like linchpins of the Bullet Club, you're not seeing them associated very much with Bullet Club. I mean, ELP got kicked out. He's doing more like ELP has been doing great just himself, actually. I think he could do something with the Bullet Club version in TNA or Impact, excuse me.
Yeah.
And then we have the Bullet Club version in AEW, which is Rock Art Juice with Jay White. Which,
and possibly the guns?
Possibly. But I mean, that's the thing, though. None of it feels like the real Bullet Club OG.
No.
And that's the thing. After every leader had came and gone from Bullet Club, it still at least felt like Bullet Club. None of this feels like Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. But I digress. What do you think of DDJ on the matches announced and the two rumors we've talked about?
I think it's already, you know, looking like this could top last year's Forbidden Door that you and I watched in person and stuff, because
it's a damn shame they put it in Canada.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, because when you think about it, you know, I mean, we didn't get Punk due to injury, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, him being in Chicago, that obviously would have been great for the crowd and stuff. But I mean, but at the time, though, I think we were also robbed of Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. because that was when Danielson had the concussion, I believe, from the Anarchy in the Arena match from last year's Double or Nothing. I mean, we got the debut of Claudio Castagnoli as a result of that, and that was still a hell of a match. But I really would have loved to see Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. in person.
Yeah,
but I mean, with what we've got so far, I mean, getting the fact that we're getting Omega versus Ospreay again is enough right there, because again, we talked about when we were discussing Wrestle Kingdom on the show back in January, we talked about how not to be surprised if when we do our year end awards special, that if we're talking about that for match of the year. So, I mean, we're getting a rematch of that. And then obviously Danielson versus Okada is like, every wrestling, you know, hardcore wrestling fan or, you know, New Japan fan, AKA our buddy Jordan, wet dream.
Yeah, that's nasty.
And then even the rumored matches, like said, Joe versus Zack Sabre Jr. and, you know, Punk versus Kenta. I mean, just, man, I want to hear more about this card. And since we're talking about Forbidden Door, you know, you guys I put in our chat, we were invited to come on to the Wrestling Nerd broadcast next week and kind of talk up this little competition we got going for them. So let's give these guys – let's leave these guys a little message for what they possibly have gotten themselves into. You guys are the talkers, so.
This is true. Joey, you want to start us off or you want to end it?
I'll end it.
Oh, yeah, you will.
The following announcement has been paid for by
Shooting Shit.
The Wrestling Nerd Podcast. Notice how your show name tells everyone who you are. You're wrestling nerds. We just shoot the shit, baby. We're not necessarily even wrestling. We don't
need to tell everybody who we are. Everybody knows who we are.
Yeah, that baby face better not cut off Joey K when he gets fired. That's all I'm telling you. But
oh no, I don't have any popcorn on me this that week, but.
The Nerd Wrestling Podcast. My thing is, I think you guys don't understand what this means to us. We are not wrestling nerds. We're not wrestling fanatics. We're not... almost said one that we can't say on this show. We're not one of those. But what we are pro wrestling savants.
I mean, for God's sake, the world's strongest man and WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry told on his Instagram crowned me the greatest wrestling trivia guy he's ever seen.
That's why we let him in the promos, ladies and gentlemen. Right there. Man's a talker. Man of a million words. Anyways, the NRD podcast. Please understand. This is not another show to us. This is not a pastime for us. This is not something that we're going to break out the beakers, the abacuses, the fucking tracks and go, oh, well, my predictions are. No. We're going to look at this as a people who have seen years upon years upon years of wrestling, have seen these storylines played out millions and millions of times before.
And millions!
This is as people who already know what's going to happen.
We're not going to get predictions. We're going to get spoilers.
Not because it's going to be predictable, but because we're that damn good. NRD podcast, when it comes down to the showtime, we always show up. Because, what can I say? We're prime time, and we have the premiere.
You know, I was kind of sitting here thinking, it's been a little while since the premieres had to kind of come out and say a few things.
Oh boy.
I mean, I don't know if, I know Jovan definitely remembers.
Oh god.
Yeah. Some of the promo videos from the premiere. But make no mistake, just because this evening I'm here in my beautiful suburban home and not poolside, because it is late night, don't ever forget. The A1 since day one. The Pacific Island Playboy, the fucking premier Joey K is here. And this, I'm sorry. Refresh me on this name again. Who are these fucking... Who are these fucking jokers? What is it? Wrestling... What's their show? Give it to me.
Wrestling Nerd Broadcast.
Wrestling Nerd Broadcast. Wow. Wow. You don't know who you're fucking with. In this show, you really don't. You might be a fucking wrestling nerd, and that's okay, and I don't care. I curse a lot. I'm sorry, nothing but love, honestly. But seriously, you fucking clowns show up and you want to challenge us? We got the goddamn number one absolute fucking wrestling trivia Rain Man up here in the corner. I mean, just fucking counting cards next to Tom Cruise and stumbling around, and nobody knows what the fuck he's talking about. I got the smoothest motherfucking Puerto Rican in all of Texas right here. He knows people. Let me tell you something. If there's anything to do with Moose, this guy has his fucking DNA. It's okay. And you know what? The Silver Wolf might be over in the cave tonight. And that's all right. But the big guy's got to rest up. Because he knows his shit. And you may not think this because I'm just here to make everybody laugh and say some offensive shit and all that. But
and he does a damn good job of both of those.
Exactly. Thank you. Now shut the fuck up. Let me tell you, I have forgotten more about professional wrestling than you wrestling nerd broadcast dimwits have ever fucking dreamt you could know about professional wrestling. That's how fucking hard I go. That's how deep I go. I got a laundry list of people that can tell you the same. He goes hard. He goes fucking deep. This is what happened. Do not fuck with us. This is shooting shit. We might be here for a good time. We might make you laugh, but we know fucking more than you. We're coming at you hard as fuck. I mean, gas station dick pill rock fucking hard is how we're coming for you. Thursday night, fucking Motel 6. 7-Eleven dick pill hard. That's what we're doing. So, we accept your challenge. We are prepared. Bring whatever you want. We're fucking ready for you. I mean, wait, hold on a second. Oh, what is that? That's DDJ's giant dick of knowledge. Because that is what it takes to be a fucking champion. And that's who we are.
So, So, boys, we'll see you next week on your show. Be careful what you wish for, because you're going to get it.
Oh, Jesus. In the forbidden door. That's where they're going to get it. That's right. Damn NRD podcast.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the
Shooting Shit.
We will break your backs and make you humble. Guys!
Wow. That was an awesome segue.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We are professionals. Shiki Baby got finally told that it's time to come home and put Jesus in the camel clutch.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about it and stuff, but guys, it's, you know, we want to take a moment to dedicate this episode to the memory of the Iron Sheik. And, you know, from three guys who were huge fans of his, we'll say, you know, Sean, the Silver Wolf as well, and the millions of fans he had out, you know, all around the world and everything. It's just, you know, God bless and stuff. And we want to take a moment to pay tribute to the Sheik and in a way that only we are capable of doing. So please enjoy this.
Dude, the most hated fucking heel of the 80s, the early 80s, like, seriously, was there anybody for that? Like, it wasn't a huge amount of time, but god damn, was there anybody else that was a bigger heel than him?
Like, I'm gonna take that one step further. Was there any more important of a heel than the Sheik during that time? Because when you think about it, he ended one era. He ended the Backlund era. And he also helped kickstart arguably the greatest era in professional wrestling, with the Golden Era, with the launch of Hulkamania and everything that came as a result of that. And I mean, and not a lot of people, and I didn't even really think about this until I got the news yesterday that he had passed. Because when you think about it, I mean, who really was there anybody out there who was more important a heel than the Sheik?
No.
Because when you think about it, they could have put anybody else in that spot for Hogan to win the belt from on January 23rd, 1984. But do you think if it was anybody else but the Sheik, would it have made the same amount of impact or more of an impact than it did with him beating the Sheik?
No, that honestly started Hulkamania.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's just the whole thing. I mean,
but nobody, because you had such a great, and that's one thing when you talk to. You talk to the all-time great faces, and they'll tell you they can't be that great face without that monster heel.
Absolutely.
You don't get Dusty without Flair. You don't get Hogan without Sheik.
You don't get Slaughter without the Sheik.
Yeah.
I mean, they were talking about on Sergeant Slaughter was talking about on because they interviewed him on Busted Open this morning. You know, they brought on a lot of people that knew the Sheik and stuff, and they did a really nice tribute show. And this was a story that was also talked about as well, too. That confrontation that the Sheik and Slaughter had, like when Sheik was leaving the ring and Slaughter was going to the ring, really, like, and I didn't know about this until a few months ago, but like that was what started that feud. But Slaughter was a heel at the time, and basically in that one interaction that he had with the Sheik, that turned him babyface you know, almost instantly, and they went on to have one of, you know, one of the most memorable rivalries from the 1980s, culminating in that boot camp match at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, talk about the touch, man. The smallest interaction turns, you know, Sarge to like one of the biggest fucking baby faces of the 80s, you know. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ, like, it's crazy. Ironically enough, also helping make him one of the most hated heels. Most hated heels of the early 90s. I mean, Jesus Christ, full circle moment right there, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh,
just ask Two-Face.
That's right.
And that's but if you guys have ever, you know, gone and, you know, watched something on, you know, videos of the Sheik or like the documentary that he did, you know, the WWE documentary on the Sheik, or even this one here, which is a really, really good documentary that was put out by an independent company, and this has no affiliation with the WWE. You know, highly recommend this. You can actually, if you have Amazon Prime, you have access to Prime Video, and this documentary is on this. Do yourself a favor. Go watch this documentary if you haven't seen it. And if you've seen it, do yourself a favor and go watch it again.
There you go.
Yeah, no matter what era of the Sheik you love. Personally, I love the era when he was hanging out with a young Dwayne Johnson. That's one of my favorite eras of the Sheik right there.
Yeah, and Dwayne put out a really touching tribute to the Sheik on his Twitter. And if you ever watched Young Rock, you know how much the Sheik meant to the Rock.
Yeah. Thanks for that great analysis of what I exactly said. But you know, I love how you recap literally what I'm going for. I, you know, that is some top notch journalism, bud.
Thank you very much.
Really fucking Dan Rather there. You know,
motherfucker.
I personally like this. Sad. This is gonna sound awful.
Oh Lord!
I am so sad to lose his inane ramblings of people he hates. All time favorite funniest thing when they have him on Stern. they're playing clips of people, and Sheik just thinks it's them, and he's yelling and screaming, and it's fucking just.
I have a 10-inch cock. I will break your back and make you humble.
Dude, Sheik on Jerry Springer. Fuck.
Yes.
Man. Just such fucking great times in his later career. Sheik with the fucking 10-minute walk down the ramp in the Battle Royal.
That I was going to bring that up. Like, that was one of Bobby Heenan's all-time one-liners. When he said, by the time the Sheik gets to the ring, it's going to be WrestleMania 38.
I mean, just fucking priceless, man.
And the funny thing is we're reminiscing on the Sheik. And the cool thing is, when you speak to people who've worked with them, right? And I tried for the life of me to get the video cleaned up to use it, but there was no possible way of doing it. But I got to speak to Kurt Angle. And I threw in their angle, how would a match have gone between you and the Sheik? And Angle laughed it off, made it very clear. He's like, man, you know, all the animosity and all of the heat between us was all kayfabe. He goes, honestly, I really love the Sheik. He said he's got a lot of respect for him because he was an Olympic alternate in Iran. He was a bodyguard for the actual Sheik out there. He's like, that guy was not anything to mess with. He goes, when he got to wrestling, he may not have been the best pro wrestler, but he was an actual fighter. And Kurt Angle said he would have loved to seen how his free form was against the Iron Sheik if they ever had the chance to really lock it up.
Yeah, and as you talk up, you brought up the stuff, you know, doing it with being a bodyguard for the Sheik over in Iran and everything. And it's just, again, it goes back to just this amazing story, this life that he had. And, like, you really owe it to yourself as a pro wrestling fan to go watch that Sheik documentary that I was telling you about, or go and watch the biography that WWE put out on A&E, because they both just talk about the story of this guy's life and what he had to go through, you know, and stuff. And it's just, it was really just like, it's one of those things that if you didn't like the man before this, you had to come out of one of these documentaries respecting the person that he is because of what he had to been through. And you think about all the stuff that he got into. I mean, you know, the drug usage and everything. I mean, the infamous story when he got pulled over with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, basically, you know, shattering, you know, the world of kayfabe and
fucking legendary.
And that, and then also talk, and then basically
hold
him.
On, hold on. We've had stories of people getting into airplane accidents and fucking the faces leaving so they wouldn't be with the heels, but those two bozos get caught. And anyways, go.
and the irony of it is years later, you get RVD and Sabu.
Yeah.
Same fucking position. Like, Jesus Christ. I mean,
not learn.
Unreal. Love it. Fuck it, all for it.
Great.
But you just think about, you know, basically him getting to the point where his drug usage was so bad, you know, his wife left him and everything, you know, but then he realized, you know, that he wanted to be with his wife. So he cleaned himself up so he could get his family back. And then just the unfortunate tragic story of his one daughter's murder and stuff, and just how it really, I don't think he was ever the same after that. So, you know, it's nice in the sense that he's back with her, you know, up with her in heaven and stuff. And it's just there wasn't anyone like him before. And especially in this day and age, you will never see anything like the Iron Sheik in this again.
That's beautiful. Final thoughts, Joey, on the Sheiky.
I'm going to miss
the Twitter post.
Hold on, Dennis isn't done yet. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
I'm going to miss the Twitter post.
Got that?
All right, Joey. I think he's done.
I'm done. I promise.
I'm gonna miss Sheik of the Week.
Oh.
On SGS.
Yeah.
Let me spoil this for you, gentlemen. SGS has stopped doing Sheik of the Week because another wrestling podcast out there started doing it. So it stopped being cool, but I've talked with the boys from SGS, and this weekend, for one time only, we're bringing back the Sheik of the Week.
Yes!
Tune in, motherfuckers.
That's right. I guess last thing I'll say is be the real. Don't be that jabroni Hulk Hogan. Fuck you, Hulk Hogan. All right. It's for the Sheik. Final thoughts, gentlemen. There's three of us tonight. We might end at an hour. Who wants to go first?
You know what? I'll lead off again.
Why not? Here we go.
This way, I don't have to worry. This way, I don't have to worry about trying to top some of these final thoughts we've had over the last couple of weeks.
Here comes our leadoff batter, Dennis Day.
Yo. Swing and a miss.
Oh, man. Why you got to be like that?
Well, we all know I'm going to say my final thought. Then you're going to be like, oh, one more thing.
Nope,
I know it's coming.
All right.
I know it's coming.
So
you already know what that one thing is, and you're just not going to share it yet. I know it. I can feel it
coming in the air tonight. Yeah, but anyways.
Coming in your hair tonight if you want. I don't care. What's your final thought?
Oh my god. So my final thoughts. I guess for my final thought, I'm gonna go the sentimental route again because it seems like that's where I always gravitate to. I just want to let everybody out there know that when things seem like they're at their worst for you, and there you feel like you don't have any place to turn, or you don't feel like you're doing a good enough job, if you don't feel like you're good enough for, you know, the people that you associate yourselves with, you are good enough. You're not alone. There's always someone out there. So just reach out, stick your hand out, and somebody will out there will grab the hand and help pull you up when you're down. I'm lucky enough that I've got two guys here. Well, one guy here and someone behind another. Oh, there he is. I got two guys here that I know if I'm down, these guys would be the amongst the first to help me get back up. Silver Wolf as well. And I would do the same for all three of you, plus all of my friends out there and stuff. And just, I just want everybody to know, you know, guys and gals, ladies and gentlemen, shooters, don't ever feel like you're truly alone, because you're not.
Not the direction I thought it was going to go. I was waiting for the DDJ heel turn when he goes, well, if you feel like that, it's because you're right. But very not beautiful. Today. Beautiful sentiment from the man who honestly is a friend to 90% of the Chicagoland area. So if you need some listening ears, you got some big ones up there in the corner that's got you at all times.
And that's not all that's big on me.
That's right. He's got that wrestling knowledge. Joey K wants to go last. I'll go with my final thoughts. In my final thought, I've molded over a little bit, actually. I wanted to make sure I was really saying what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And that thought is Billy Corgan.
Oh, my God.
Okay. In memory of the Silver Wolf, Billy Corgan.
In memory of? Sean's not dead.
Jesus, well, he's not here today.
That went pretty dark. Fuck, man.
For the Silver Wolf, since he's not here tonight, Jesus Christ. You act like he's riding the Bowflex. Since the Silver Wolf is not here tonight.
What the fuck?
Billy Corgan. The NWA.
Hold on. Time out. Did you not just hear fucking DDJ's final thought? And that's the comment you throw out? What the fuck, bro?
You gotta just let it go. Just let it go, man. Just let it go. See, now I can't talk about Billy Corgan.
You can do whatever you want, man. The fucking vibe is dead, bro.
Just go with it, Jovan. Just go with it.
I don't appreciate when people try to tell you what is and is not something that you enjoy. That's called gatekeeping. The wrestling community, unfortunately, is very toxic with gatekeepers. The IWC is very toxic with gatekeepers. What we don't need is a former musician gatekeeping what is and isn't wrestling under the guise of a big fat sack of shit. Tyrus does not make sense as a world champion unless that world champion is the Nathan's Hot Dog Invitational, where you can beat Joey Chestnut at 76 hot dogs in a fucking minute. That's the only thing Tyrus is good for.
He ain't beating Joey Chestnut, though.
He's not beating Chestnut.
Nobody's beating Chestnut.
Chestnut, I believe, has three stomachs, but I can't prove it. But Tyrus is not a champion worth looking up to. And with one of the most prestigious belts in all of pro wrestling, you're shitting over everything that us fans love. You're shitting over anything that the historians love. You're shitting over the name of pro wrestling itself by insinuating we have to love the Fat Bob or not be wrestling fans. So I'm bringing it back. Billy Corgan, the NWA, do better. Joey K.
Forty tried to kill me, and it did not succeed. So I'm still here, motherfuckers.
Yeah!
I'm in my prime, baby. 41. Yeah! I'm a 41. I'm still going. What's up? Have my chicken nuggies. Feeling good. Hell yeah. Yeah, 40 was pretty crazy, though, man. Fucking little near-death experience. I say that, it's kind of dramatic. I wasn't really like near death, but I could have died. You know, whatever. Anyway.
It's still going to spook you.
You gave it a good look in the eye.
Yeah. We had a little fucking stare down for a moment or two. It's all good. But hey, made it to 41. Still rocking and motherfucking rolling. So I'm pretty thrilled about that. That's what, kind of why I wanted to do the show tonight. We're like, I was like, I wanted to have some fun. End the fucking day pretty good. So my final thought is, everybody, stop being a dick like Billy Corgan. Have some fucking fun. Lighten up. If you fucking like that fucking NWA sack of shit champ, then fucking like him. Who gives a flying shit? I don't care. If you hate him, keep fucking hating him, Sean. That's cool too. I don't give a fuck. Do you, man. Just do you. The only thing I'll ask is wear some motherfucking deodorant, because y'all motherfuckers stank. Stank! Some fucking deodorant. Wash your ass. Wash your balls. Flip that beard up. Scrub that neck. There you go. That's all. Just come on, man. Wrestling fans, you smell. You stink. And I don't mean stink is just like, oh, you're terrible. No, you stink because you fucking smell awful. Smell like raw sewage. You dirty fucks. Take a shower. Take a bath. Wash your ass. Kiss your mom. Fuck all.
Yeah!
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shoot and Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.